Hi, everybody. Welcome to Happy Horror Time. This is the first one of 2018.
Woo!
I don't know what that noise was. I didn't introduce anyone yet. So welcome back. Gosh, it's now March. Where have I been for January, February, March? But Happy
Busy.
Horror Time. Okay, so with no more further ado, I'm going to bring out a pretty permanent podcaster with me, Matt Ammer.
Yay! A pretty permanent, just like semi-permanent or
right?
Like temporary, like temp to perm, maybe perm
so
to
Matt,
hire.
Catch us up on your life real quick because we've got movies to talk about.
Oh my God, so much has changed in my life, Tim. Like
did you get
in
a
these
haircut
last 3 months, I've gotten at least 3 haircuts.
Wow.
I have sat on my couch for at least 3 full months.
Wow.
I'm about to start a new job, Tim.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And
that's all I can say because it's really super private. What? Oh. Oh my God, we hear people outside.
Okay.
This
just
is like a weird
FYI.
Horror movie moment.
Podcast.
No, things are great. It's 2018 and it's March and that's about it.
Have you...
How about you, Tim? Why don't you catch us up on the last 3 months?
You know, it's been an interesting beginning of the year, but I think that I, you know, each day I'm improving, my life.
Oh, God. Just improving.
You know, just
group therapy.
Group therapy. Jamie Lee Curtis, H2O. We're quoting it. 1998 hit.
20 years ago. 20? I couldn't say 20. 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Anyway, but we're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about Halloween, but we do know that it starts... Is it starting in 2018 or 19?
Well, no, it started and it's already wrapped filming. It filmed through January through February. It is wrapped and ready to be edited and scored.
Starring Julie Benz? No,
Julie
not Julie Benz. Oh, gosh. No, not
Judy
Julie
Greer.
Judy Greer. Oh, my
Julie
God.
Benz is great in it.
I love a good Judy Benz comedy. Judy Greer, who also was in Carrie.
And was in Jawbreaker.
That's right. Can you name one more Judy Greer movie?
Jurassic World. Hey!
What was the movie that she was in with...
The Wedding Planner?
George Clooney. I actually don't remember what it is either.
Ocean's 11?
No.
Ocean's 12?
No, he was
Ocean's 13?
No. No.
Wait, no.
No. I am your
Tim,
mother.
We didn't talk about...
Oh, okay.
We went to a 20th anniversary screening of Urban Legend.
Oh, we did. That was exciting.
Speaking of, that's what brought up Rebecca Gayhart, who was in Jawbreaker with Judy Greer. It's like a weird 6 degrees of separation.
Yes.
But Urban Legend, which I think still holds up today.
Do you want to talk about Urban Legend first?
Should we?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's 20th anniversary.
Okay. So we went to the Arrow Theater. We skipped the faculty.
Only because, see, I love the faculty. I love it. But I actually saw it on the big screen just like a year or two ago. And it was like, we had dinner plans and we're like.
We were going to go to Benihana.
But there was too long a wait. And so like our friends and I, we decided to just go to Urban Legend at the Arrow Theater in Santa Monica. And yeah, I thought first off, the opening scene was great.
It was great.
Very much like this was like at the post Scream, where then every movie wanted to do like a big flashy.
It was 2 years after Scream, and I will say it was an impressive cast. You have Oscar winner Jared Leto.
You have Oscar nothing Alicia Witt.
She went on to 2 weeks notice with Sandra Bullock.
She also did multiple Hallmark movies
and never to be seen again.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. No, trust me. As someone who does not have a career, it's perfectly okay for me to knock people who have careers.
Exactly. But it starred, like, so Rebecca Gayhart, Alicia Witt, Jared Leto, Tara Reid.
Yes.
Wait, who else is in? Oh, Joshua Jackson from Dawson's
with
Creek.
White hair. Oh, no, what is the blonde? It looks like shit.
And then there was Michael
Rosenbaum from Smallville. And also, we're in a movie together. I don't want to talk about it unless you want to talk about it.
Okay, what movie, Timmy?
I'm in this movie with him. And, you know, he's my co-star. And we talked and chatted in his trailer.
Equally large parts, right?
Yeah, he did. No, not at all. I was a glorified extra. It's in this movie called Swarty Boys. And it says cock on my chest. K-O-K.
Cock? Mm-hmm. Wait, what were, I don't know about this. What were you? What were you?
Called Sorority Boys. It came out in 2002, starring the Barry Watson.
I remember from Seventh Heaven.
That's right. And that's the whole story.
Was anybody? Robert Englund was in it. That was a big cast.
That was it was a good cast.
And who was the really old guy that played like the principal or the dean?
I would never know that.
Old guy McGee.
But Loretta Devine.
Loretta Devine.
And she was like, "Hey, cold turkey."
And she's always watching the Pam Grier movies.
Yeah, that was clever.
And stuff. That was good. She's probably the best person in that movie. But anyway,
I don't know about that. Okay. Rebecca Gayheart's monologue at the end takes the cake.
If you haven't seen Urban Legend, you suck. But if you have, you know that Rebecca Gayheart is the killer, and she has this big reveal scene at the end where her acting is so over the top.
It is really good.
I mean, I would not say that, but I would say it's so over the top.
No, it was a choice. The director
it was
did
definitely
not...
a choice.
Oh, fun fact. The director that did Urban Legend also did the amazing Denise Richards in Valentine.
It's the same one?
Yeah, same director. His name's Jamie Blanks.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
I definitely didn't say Lee Curtis. It's Blanks. But I don't...
His name is Jamie Blanks.
B-L-A-N-K-S. Yep.
Blanks.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, Mr. Blanks?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's shooting blanks?
Well, I don't know about that aspect.
So, Jamie Blanks directed it. Well, I think this one's better than Valentine.
I bet, like, he got Valentine because of Urban Legend, and then just gave up. He's like, you know what, I've already made these
fuck
two
it I got a good movie
masterpiece classics, what else can I
Urban
say?
Legend is good though, because number one, they do take a lot of urban legends that everyone grows up hearing, even when they were doing in class, like they do the Pop Rocks and Soda thing. Like, I used to think that you actually couldn't have Pop Rocks and Soda. I don't know if I really thought it was going to blow up your insides, but I remember not doing that. And so I love that they had that. But they took, like, you know, the someone in the back seat and
you shouldn't have turned on the light.
And like things that
Daniel
people
Harris
heard.
Is in it too. Halloween 4 and 5.
And Halloween and Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2.
I don't count them as films.
Well, yeah, she has a relatively small part, but it's a lot of people in it. They have a lot of cool. It's a fun movie. Like, and I found it just as fun as when I saw it 20 years ago.
Me too. I had a great time.
You know, when I was 3.
I beg to differ on your age.
No, it was fun. It's a fun movie. But Rebecca Gayheart, and my favorite part of her reveal is when she's telling Alicia Witt, who's like the survivor, why she's
Final
the
girl.
Killer. She pulls out a slide projector and puts it on because she prepared a slideshow
to explain to the
explain
audience
her reasoning for killing. Because that's what a killer does. They prepare a slideshow to reveal
their
killing.
So many problems with that. Because, like, what if Alicia Witt did not go up to that house? Yeah. What if she... And also, all the bodies fall out at that moment.
Yeah, and also, what if Alicia Witt, like, they got in a fight before the slideshow came up and she had to kill her first?
Rebecca
what
Gayheart
would be the slideshow?
So confident.
And my another great part is that when Rebecca Gayheart reveals herself to be the killer, it's like she went back, put extra eyeliner on to look crazy, then reveals herself to be the killer.
Well,
because
she's like, you know,
killers wear a lot of eyeliner.
Dramatic effect.
They do. And she teased her hair
out.
Her
hair got huge.
But it's just hilarious. For the rest of the movie, her hair is not huge and she barely wears any eye makeup. But when she comes out as the killer, eye makeup galore and crazy hair.
I loved it.
No, I love it too. I love it too.
But you know what? Jared Leto's acting in that scene was so bland.
He, for an Oscar award winner, but he's so hot.
All is forgiven.
And those, I mean, he still is hot, but like
and
those
you know
days
what?
Really
I loved
hot.
His outfit in the whole movie. It was just like a blue shirt. Like a preppy blue shirt.
Preppy, because he was like the reporter, the school
reporter.
Right,
he was on the trail of a killer.
Yeah, and then Tara Reid like has this really long, annoying death scene.
I don't think it's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, she's just, I guess like she's screaming a lot.
Oh, yeah,
at least
that's
they
true.
Make fun of it.
That's
she's
true.
Like, oh, God, oh, God. Do I sound like her, Tim? Oh!
You're bringing her to life.
What else about that movie?
I thought it was, okay, I say this probably in every podcast. For anyone that's ever listened to all my podcasts, thank you.
Look, all three of you, thanks.
Thank you for taking time out of your day, but hopefully you're just listening in your car.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best place.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say was, I think the movie's beautifully shot. The score's awesome. The songs are pretty good.
Turn around.
They do play that song. But you know what's weird? I actually have the soundtrack and that song's not on it.
Really? Mm-mm. It's like such a big part of the first
They probably
scene.
Couldn't get it.
I thought with the, well, yeah. See, I thought the opening scene was really good because it was a cool setup. Like, you think that this creepy gas station attendant is the killer and he's not, and it's really
Do you know who the creepy gas station?
Brad Dourif from Child's Play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
That's right. And the girl's Natasha
Leo.
Gregson
I'm just kidding,
no. Wagner, who's Robert Wagner's.
Daughter?
Yeah.
Well, the opening scene is good. Yes. Every killing scene also is pretty good, yeah. too. That's what
I thought Michael Rosenblum. Michael Rosenblum's death was a little nuts. With, like,
it was
pop
nuts.
Rock.
Well, and was in with the Drano down his throat.
Yeah,
but
and like it was a
also
house full
at
of
the
people.
Party, and the house was there. So the next person who came into the bathroom.
You're telling me little Rebecca Gayheart tied him up and shoved that thing down.
Well, remember, first she like knocks him out and then ties him up. And so, but she literally, like, doesn't she? I'm trying to think who she fights with that would never. Oh, with Danielle Harris when she's like strangling her to death. I mean, yes, Rebecca Gayheart's bigger than Danielle Harris, but she's not that strong.
Well, and also, she was hit by a car by Alicia Witt a few times. She's like, there's like bump, bump, bump.
Oh,
and then
yes.
she got little Joshua, well, big Joshua Jackson? I don't know, but she tied him to that thing. And there's a lot of loose
ends. She's really strong. And like all of the, like how everyone in that town had the same jacket. Like,
actually,
you find that jacket in everyone's
jacket.
Everyone's closet. Everyone's closet has that jacket. Mm-hmm. And how about the creepy janitor who, of course, he's creepy, but he's nice.
How would you like to go in for that audition and just be like, oh, you're hired because of your beautiful face?
Or, hey, we need a creepy-looking weirdo. Do you think you could be that?
Yeah.
Hey, look, he's laughing it all the way down to the bank when he cashes
That's
that
true.
Check.
That's true. I mean, trust me, I would take it in a heartbeat. And
That's
like,
why it's like, I always say that it's like, ooh, you're playing like the ugly person. Look. They're probably
I would
like,
do it.
Cast me as whatever. Give me the check. Thanks.
Me too. And like, you know how Lisa Rinna from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills did a diaper commercial?
Did she?
Yeah. And she like
what,
collected
for
huge,
what brand?
She said she like collected a six figures check.
Why would Lisa Rinna do it?
They asked her, and
usually there's like older people in that.
She's
I mean,
pushing it. She's pushing it.
She's
Matt.
Pushing it. What is she now? 60?
Oh no, no.
Okay,
I think she's 50
70.
Something.
75.
No, no, no.
She was on Melrose Place.
So a lot of people were on Melrose Place.
But
doesn't mean they're all 70.
Aren't they 60? Anyway, 20th anniversary Urban Legend. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it.
Yeah, it's
if
great.
You have seen it, watch it again, and it'll. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. Like sometimes you see movies that you saw a long time ago that you liked, and now you're like, "What the fuck?"
This
but
holds
this
up.
This one, yeah, it's fun. That's the best way I could describe it. Right?
I agree.
Fun.
I like fun. And you know what's weird? That movie. I thought like, when we got there, it was going to be like sold out. It was not.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was
which
just
is
kind
sad,
of the middle
but,
section.
I know, but they made two sequels to Urban Legend, which have nothing to do with the original. They literally just took the title Urban Legend Final Cut and Urban Legend Bloody Mary, and neither.
You know, I still haven't seen Urban Legend Bloody Mary.
Neither have I. We'll have to watch it and talk about it. In
that's
the next
right.
Podcast.
That's right. Or
but
maybe.
Urban Legend Final Cut was like.
I really liked it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not I as much like, as Urban Legend.
No, God, no.
Yeah. I can't even remember a lot of it, but I know it wasn't as good as
I just remember there was male nudity, which is a rarity.
I do remember that part. It was butts.
It was a butts.
Butts and butts and butts.
But it was from that actor. Oh.
From Legally Blonde, Warner.
Yeah, Warner. Okay, but what's his real name?
Matthew something?
Matthew Davis. He was ding, also ding. In Blue Crush.
Dang, 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 dang. What's that from?
Urban Legend. Urban
he
Legend.
Was in Blue Crush?
Yeah.
How about Blue Crush 2 with Audrina from the Hills?
I would never watch that shit.
Oh, okay. I think we should go on to some new releases,
I agree.
Tim,
I agree.
Because
okay.
Tim and I have watched two very timely, very
yes.
new release movies.
Yes. Okay. So the first one is, let's get this one out of the way because I really hate. I don't want to say hate. That's a strong word. Let's do the one that's like fresh off our minds.
Okay.
We watched the Netflix movie called Veronica.
And apparently, see, I had first heard about it because someone sent me an article that was written by, I don't know who watched it.
Someone who's
this.
Never seen a horror movie?
Someone sent me an article was written that said that this new movie that came out, Veronica, was scaring people so much that they had to turn it off halfway through because it was so scary.
Okay,
so of course that would intrigue.
Were they watching it alone in the dark at like
yeah
morning?
Like I know
the only
were
way
they
I
watching could... it in a cemetery alone yeah. with
the... that's
no.
the only way I could
so
see it being scary.
Then so of course I was intrigued. I told Tim about it and we just watched it on Netflix. First off, it's not even new. I mean, it's new but not like it said 2017, but it's a Spanish movie, so it's subtitled, so I guess it's new to an American audience, but it came out last year in Spain, I guess, or
I can,
yeah, Spain.
I can safely say everything I just watched in Veronica, I've seen before.
Well, first, let's give a quick synopsis because okay. I'm sure a lot of people haven't
yes.
seen it. So this, I guess, 15-year-old girl during an eclipse does the Ouija board with her friends and releases like an evil spirit that goes after her and like her young siblings who she always has to take care of because their mom is like working a bunch of jobs because their dad recently died. So the mom's never home and the 15-year-old is like the caretaker. So it releases spirit who's like haunting them and, you know, you can figure out from there.
The movie's an hour and 45 minutes and I felt every minute of it.
Yeah.
Because, okay, there was no... I don't feel like it was breaking any new ground. There was like a nun. No,
that's a good way to say it. I think it was breaking.
There was like, okay, the teenage girl, great actress. There was one kid that was so cute. He had like a little lazy eye.
You mean Antonito? Antonito. Mm-hmm.
Antonito was really good. The other girls were like fine.
Weird.
They were fine.
You're right. It wasn't break. That's another thing. That's the best way to describe it. It wasn't breaking new. It was very, very slow, which is okay. I'm okay with like slow movies if they build suspense. There wasn't a lot of suspense that was building. There was the shadow figure, which was supposed to be what was haunting her, but wasn't scary. Like, for instance, anybody who's seen like the Insidious movies or the Conjuring movies, like the spirits in those are fucking scary. Yeah. Like they look terrifying, like that scary nun in the Conjuring 2.
They use it in a way that's like terrifying. This movie used it like, oh, like it didn't have the jump scare.
Well, the creature looked like the creature from The Shape of Water, which is an amphibian, not a scary thing.
I agree 100%. And it looked like that trailer I just saw, Slender Man.
Yeah, which looks a little too like ethereal, abstract for me. Like, I guess I was thinking it was just going to be like a straight slasher.
I think there was nothing scary about it because when there was like CGI, it was CGI heavy.
Oh, for Veronica.
Yeah, Veronica.
Well, finally, when it gets to toward like the end, it just, like you said, it's not pretty. I mean, okay, there's a million exorcism movies that have been made. Not saying there shouldn't be more, but it's just like, if you're going to do one and it's going to make headlines, you would think that it would have done something different or something, but like, it didn't. It didn't have a really scary figure or create, like, it wasn't. Yeah, there wasn't anything different about it. I mean, I was okay with the subtitles because whatever, but like...
I'm actually surprised we did not turn it off. I'm actually surprised we actually sat there and watched the whole thing.
That is fun. I didn't hate it, but I didn't... There was nothing... Like, I just can't believe that someone wrote an article about people turning it off. Right. I think the people that were turning off turned it off because they didn't want to watch it, not because they were scared.
They turned it off because it was boring.
Exactly. So,
I think I had more fun just talking over it with you, like our commentary, or just like when we were reading the subtitles, not how it was meant to be read.
No, it was. I mean, and also, like, you figure that movies aren't going to kill little kids. So I always feel a little safer when kids are in danger because you're like, they're not going to kill them, are they?
At no point did I think that the kids were in any danger.
Yeah, I just thought basically, like, she was the only one in danger. But then she had some bitchy friends.
She really had you know what's even sadder? Is that she had no one to turn to. Her mom was like, ugh, I'm busy. No, and, like, the kids were like, I don't understand. And, like, her best friends were like, we want to party.
No, it was sad. And my first thought at the end, wait, we're giving spoilers, right?
Yeah, we're telling you, Veronica.
My first thought at the end, she dies at the end because I guess she, well, we don't even know because she tries to kill herself because she realizes that she's actually this figure she's been seeing that she thinks is doing all the harm is really inside of her.
And here's the big reveal.
And so she tries to kill herself, but she gets like thrown aside and dies. Whatever. Anyway, literally, this is an awful first thought. My first thought was the mom's going to be like, well, who's going to take care of the kids now?
Yeah.
Like, she goes, listen,
I had a 24/7 babysitter and now I got nothing.
Yeah. The mom is never there ever.
I take that back. There was one scene in the movie that was really effective is when she made the little kids like dinner, I'm assuming. And all of a sudden, like, the fork started shaking in her mouth.
Oh,
she had
meatball. With the meatball.
And then she just like was shoving the fork in her mouth. And I was like, where is this going? Like, I've never seen that before. Yeah, and it was effective.
Yeah, that's literally the only thing I think I've never seen. Because you've seen people doing Ouija boards. Although, wait.
Oh, that's
another
thing.
Have you seen a horror
movie
where the main scene takes place during an eclipse? Wait, why do I feel like there is a movie?
Gerald's Game has an eclipse.
Gerald's Game, but there's another movie.
And there's a movie called Ouija.
I know, but it doesn't. No, and I love, by the way, I love the movie called Ouija.
You do?
Oh, sorry, not that Ouija. I'm talking about Witchboard. Have you ever seen Witchboard?
Of course, with Tani Katane.
Yes. I love that movie.
Have
I used to watch
it
as a kid. Oh, maybe it does not hold up.
I saw it at the New Beverly.
I just remember the figure, the killer, or the killing figure, Malvader, used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid. Granted,
it's a little slow, and it has such gay undertones.
Really?
Yeah. If you watch it today, Patch from, I want to say, Santa Barbara, and the other leading guy, who I don't know his name, is very, there's some kind of undertone.
Oh, I guess I didn't catch that as a young straight kid.
Right, when you were kissing all those babes.
When I was kissing all those girls and it was straighter than a zigzagged line.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so I guess we would, I mean, I have to say, I feel like you agree with me on this, Kim, that we probably wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't, no, God, no.
I mean, again,
it's
I don't think
visually, it's gonna... visually nice to look at.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, so are art galleries, but yeah, you don't have to watch, spend an hour and 45 minutes watching them on Netflix.
Well, I'm proud of us to do that. We had pizza though.
So don't believe the hype, basically. It's nothing different. Like I've seen better exorcism movies or better supernatural movies. Definitely. Yeah.
The Exorcist. Call it a day.
This isn't even close to either of any of the Insidious or Conjuring movies. Cause even the ones that are the weaker ones in those series are better than this one, right?
Absolutely. Because those movies are pace better.
Yeah.
This is like this girl just running around with braces.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that I thought, you know, as usual, when you have a teenager in a movie, they're usually like 25 or maybe 21. But she's beautiful. She's a very pretty girl. So I was like, oh, she's beautiful. She's got to be like 23 something. No, she's actually 16.
Which
so.
Is impressive. She literally was the focus for the whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, and she did well. Like, this is a girl, she probably will have a career off of this. It's just, she'll probably laugh at her first movie.
Yeah.
Veronica.
Viral.
And if you watch it, just remember, Antonito. They probably say that too. Play a drinking game. Every time she says Antonito.
We'd be like Hiko this weekend. Oh my God. Too soon.
Inside joke. But you guys all know who he is.
All right. So,
moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on. Oh, good. We're making really good time. okay, our final movie is so current.
Really current. Like, just came out this weekend on the big screen. No Netflix, no Hulu.
You pay for it.
It's called The Strangers Pray at Night. And not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y.
What's the difference?
P-R-A-Y is praying like in a church. P-R-E-Y is like pray, like praying on someone, hunting them.
Oh, okay.
Tim's like, oh, words.
Words are dumb.
Okay, you go first. Tell me, because we haven't actually talked about what we thought, because we were going to save it for this. So ready? Go.
Okay. My name is Tim Murdoch, and we went to the Thursday screening, so we even saw it before the rest of America.
Yeah, like the night before opening night.
Right, and we didn't even use our movie passes because AMC Century City is a bunch of buttholes.
Yeah, and that sucks because they don't, like, now they limit, I don't even have a movie pass, I'm acting like I do, but they don't let you go to AMC Century City. Right.
We want everyone to pay $16 a ticket.
Because they know people still will.
I know, and we did. So we went Thursday night, and I will say I was a little more nervous before the movie started. We have one friend in particular that likes to talk to the screen, so I was a little afraid that this particular person would get us our asses kicked. But everyone in the audience was very accepting. I'm always a little nervous that people will be like, hey! I'm taking The Strangers serious. Quiet down.
But no, it's definitely a movie you have to take seriously.
Right. But I think everyone was on the same page.
And oh, yeah.
So, I liked it, but there were certain parts of the movie that I was annoyed by because I don't know if I would have done what the characters in the movie would have done. And I think that's the whole point of these movies. Like, I think when you're watching The Strangers, it's like, would I do that? Or what would I do differently? I think that's the whole point of these movies.
For people who don't know, so The Strangers Pray at Night was a sequel to The Strangers, which came out in 2008. So yes. 10 years ago, that was that movie with Liv Tyler.
Was it 2008 or 9?
8, because holy I remember. Hell. Yeah, it's 8. The original Strangers is just a couple that goes and like to spend a weekend in a cabin, and they get hunted by these three masked people who literally there's no motive, no reason other than the fact they were home and they're in the middle of nowhere. And it's a really well done, terrifying movie because they're just being hunted for no reason by people with
played
masks.
Played by Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman.
Yeah, yeah. So this isn't a sequel in that it like continues Liv Tyler, Scott Speedman, but
did they both die? I don't remember.
I think Liv Tyler was like alive at the end in the 911 call, like you hear her scream or something.
Spoiler.
Even though, but it's a really terrifying movie. So this one, it took 10 years, but this time it's a family that is on their way to take the daughter who's a teenager. So it's two parents, a teenage son, teenage daughter. The daughter has been probably fucking up, doing drugs, whatever. They're taking her to boarding school. Mm-hmm. And on the way, they're driving, of course, in the middle of nowhere. They're going to stop at their uncle's trailer park because everyone needs to do a detour at their uncle's trailer park.
Did you mention the son?
Well, the son was a teenager. Yeah, I just said teenage son.
Oh, okay, geez. Okay, yeah.
Oh, but so that there's the family. There's the two parents, the teenage son, the teenage girl, and they're bringing the teenage girl to boarding school, but they stop at the trailer park. But because it's after Labor Day, like, nobody's at the trailer park, so they're staying there overnight in the middle of nowhere in these huge open spaces.
And the mother is played by Christina Hendricks from...
Jimi
Men,
Hendrix's
Bad
daughter.
Santa 2. And then Martin Henderson plays the father, and he's, I think he's
hot.
He's very hot. Distractingly hot.
Distractingly hot.
I had
hot.
To, like, you know, put my...
He had to adjust himself. Yeah. He had to fan himself down.
Like,
no, and I don't know who plays the kids, but I thought they
I
were good.
I feel like the girl's been in something before.
The girl was really good. But I guess I will... So you say... So I really liked it because I thought it did everything it had to do. Like, first off, all the, like, the cinematography is really good because it's these, all these large dark open spaces, and then, like, suddenly, like, a mask will slowly come into, like, one spot, so it's just really creepy. It does really well with that. And the biggest difference between this movie and the last one is they really stepped it up. Like, there's a lot more action. Remember, the first one was, like, really slow in a good way. It builds suspense. But
have you seen
this one,
the first one, lately? Or I saw it once in the theater and
a couple
never
years
again
ago. Oh, you haven't seen it again? You should watch it. It's slow, it is, but this one really steps up the action, steps up the killing, steps up, like, the fighting. This was, like, more of, I would say, a traditional horror movie in that, you
some,
know, you have a
some
survivor.
Scenes
some scenes where you have, like, more of the action, more of the fighting back, more of, like, the normal survivor type thing. But it's why I really liked it, because I think they set it up well. Like, versus Veronica, this one was slow at the beginning, but not for too long that you didn't lose interest.
Oh no, that setup was so quick.
Yeah. Well, like, you, it does well, and then it's like, but as Tim was saying, I'm thinking when they kept splitting up and doing things, those were the frustrating.
There was like three moments where I was like, ugh. Like, it was tough. They were like, okay, you go in this trailer with your mother and we're going to go check out the body, but you wait here while I go check out the body.
And I know, and you
I was
do
like,
this.
No, you and should all stay together, get in the minivan, and drive away.
And I also felt like both of the parents did not fight for their lives. Just like,
really?
Okay, I'll die. The mom.
Are we spoiling it?
I mean, I guess so. Okay. Because, but people, are, I mean, we said this is a spoiler-filled podcast, not a spoiler-free.
Okay, so I don't think she could have gotten out that window.
Well, no. She
couldn't,
fought, but
though.
You could have fought. So there's two, the strangers consist of one big male guy who wears a mask, and then two females. I guess,
right.
I don't
one
even know what
long,
the little
blonde
one.
One with long blonde hair and one with short hair?
Yeah, so like... There's the blonde who has a mask.
I hated her the most.
Yes, she was awful. But she had a knife and is coming after the mom and daughter, and they get into the bathroom, but then she's breaking into the bathroom, and like they try to escape out a window above
like a
the bathroom. Yeah, like a skylight. Daughter gets out, and then the mother can't get out fast enough, and the girl stabs her. But like she literally just gets stabbed, like waits.
But you know, she's
stabbed,
a big star.
And she's just like,
star.
Okay, I'll just die. Like she's not like at least fight the girl. Because
right.
It's one-on-one.
She could
have
turned around
and
popped her in the face.
Or something. With something. Grab a shampoo bottle. Throw it at her or something. But then... And then the dad, they got in the car accident. And he was...
Oh,
yeah,
that was sad. Didn't... And that kind of dragged.
It did. They did. When he's like, no!
Yeah.
No!
You know, I will say this. And this is not me being the masculinity police. But I thought his voice was a little high.
In those... When he was...
Well, not when he was dying. God, yeah. That I get. But if
you're
I...
like, God, can you keep it masculine
like,
while you're dying?
When you're dying... Can you please be macho?
I'll say my favorite scene was the pool scene with the sun.
Absolutely, because that was so visual, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's like a great, it's like a fight in a pool, but also like scary. And then after he's getting him, and you think he's gonna make it, and then he sort doesn't, but then he doesn't die, and then the
was,
daughter
yeah,
comes
like,
back. There was like so many back and forths. It was done really well. Actually, my other favorite scene when the girl is in the cabin or in the house looking, and she finds the toy, and then right next to the toy is the blanket, and the blanket rises slowly and the girl's underneath it.
Great scene. But I was a little like, how would she know that she would go to that particular...
I guess there's three killers, so they probably split up and figured someone will come
here.
The one
that was killed by the pool so quickly, she didn't get much screen time.
She was just hiding in the pipe for a little bit, and then she like ran. She was
dead.
Little, though, dead.
Yeah, no one cared about her.
But I thought it was really well done. And then the ending is very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-ish with like she literally jumps in a car and it like is going away as the killer's running behind her. I mean, it was literally the ending of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, except that it wasn't.
What did you think, like, okay, so when she shot her with a gun, the blonde haired girl.
Yeah.
The teenage daughter shot the killer with a gun. Then she lifted off her mask. Do you think by showing the face of the killer, do you think that took something away from
definitely.
The
I mean, it I definitely like, did when you see that she was just like some white trash girl, but I know why, because she says, why are you doing this? And the girl just, and the killer just says, why not? And it's supposed to be like that terrifying thing of when you can't even understand a motive, it makes it even more terrifying because there's nothing you can do anything about. It's just a crazy, crazy people that enjoy terrorizing people. And that's pretty scary.
I was surprised they did that. I thought they were going to go the whole movie without showing us.
I mean, definitely the masks are of a huge amount more scary. And if you had shown it early on and then she was still hunting her, I'd be like, okay, it's just a dumb white bitch.
Did you like her line when she came to the door?
Why not? Oh.
I'm really surprised you haven't said it.
That is true. We've been joking into it, our group of friends, not Tim. All of us, everybody but Tim, have been saying, is Tamara home? Is Tamara? Because that's the only thing that connects these two movies. The strangers, and I guess we're supposed to suppose they're the same killers. Well, I guess so, because they're wearing the same.
I didn't even put that
but
together.
They're wearing the same mask as the first one. But like they always start, if you haven't seen the original or this one, they start by like, they knock, one of them knocks on the door, and you answer, and they just say, is Tamara home? And of course, there's no Tamara there. So they say, no, you have the wrong place or whatever. And then the person just walks away.
But they're not
wearing
their
masks. Come back and says, is Tamara home? So it's their way of like scaring / fucking with the person. But so all week, like my friends and I have been texting each other, is Tamara home?
Is Tamara home?
And Tim, and then you see Tim Murdoch has left the conversation.
I would never leave a conversation.
I know. That's such a Hiko thing to do.
Poor Hiko. Not even here to defend himself.
No, he doesn't like mass tax, but neither does Tim. But Tim stays in it.
I stay
he bears
it.
With it.
I bear with
he
it.
He grits his teeth and just bears
with
it.
I throw my
it.
Phone and go,
he's exactly like that. Is Tamara home? Mm-hmm. But I really recommend it. I mean, it's if you like horror movies and you liked The Strange, I think this is better than the first Strangers.
Oh, absolutely.
And I liked it. Like, I mean, if you liked The First Strangers, this is like stepping it up.
I would say it's not an easy movie to sit through.
What do you mean? Oh,
like,
because
it's like very unnerving because I feel like
unnerving.
It could happen. How do I say this? Everything that I saw on screen could happen. Maybe towards the ending, it gets a little nuts, but you know, there's a lot of false endings
on screen. Oh, I thought you said in Scream
on screen.
Yeah. No. I mean, there are crazy people out there that probably enjoy terrorizing people, Tim, and
on the weekends,
and when you go somewhere in the middle of nowhere, like if there's no cell reception or something, like it can be fucking
scary.
That was scary.
Just like they come back to their little trailer and all their phones are broken.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The killers like psychologically are fucking with you. Like they take all the phones and crack all of them and put them right out in front for them to see. So it's like whoever these killers are, they just enjoy hunting people, terrorizing people and killing them. So that's what makes it really scary. And the fact, again, like I said, when you're in the middle of nowhere, there's nobody you can call on for help, and there's people coming after you for no reason. It's pretty terrifying.
And like, who would want to die at a trailer park?
I mean, please, can you be like, the body of Tim Murdoch was found at a trailer park?
And I'd be like, oh, you guys, I'm successful.
No, don't do that. But so I would recommend it. Like, I think especially, I was about to say, of the three movies we watched, but how do you compare it to Urban Legend?
It's Urban Legend's like from 1998, and this movie's now and hip.
Now, but why did it take them 10 years to do a sequel?
I don't know. And it's such a weird... Well, I did look a little bit at the box office. Maybe it's changed since then, but...
Oh, yeah. How did it do?
I think it made like $4 million as of Saturday. But which is
that's
not...
it?
That's it. But
wait,
you know,
I'm going on Box Office Mojo right now.
Do the... But I know that Wrinkle...
It only met... Oh, wait.
Wrinkle in Time was... I think number two.
Oh, no, Strangers
How much
two,
it do?
10.5 million.
Good
I guess
job.
Not,
okay, so it's improved.
Yeah, but that's not that
what,
great.
What number out of 10?
Number three.
It came in third?
Black Panther was still number one. A Wrinkle in Time was number two.
How much did those movies make?
$41 million for Black Panther, $33 million for Wrinkle in Time, $10.5 million for Strangers 2. I feel... Wait, what was Strangers 2 budget? Budget was... Oh, it doesn't say in this, but no. I mean, I can't imagine this isn't one of those horror movies that would make
over.
A humongous amount, but I thought it'd make a little more than 10.5.
Well, you can't go against Oprah. And
true.
Reese, Mindy Kaling.
I'm actually surprised A Wrinkle in Time only made 33, I guess.
Well, you know it cost $140 million. to make.
Oh, and their opening meal, that's not good.
I saw it.
Because, well, think about
it. It was practically The Strangers.
Because, I know, huge cast in A Wrinkle in Time, based on a famous book that everybody either knows about or read. You would think this would be like one of those big, like, $100 million movie openings.
I never read A Wrinkle in Time, but the company that I went to see it with, they read it.
So the fact that it made so little, that's kind of sad. I mean, 33 obviously is not so little, but for like a movie that should be huge. Because remember, first weekend is always the most. It only goes down from there.
Well, maybe word of mouth.
I'm wondering about Strangers 2, if word of mouth, I don't know.
It might pick up. Maybe. Scream, remember Scream made very little. The original Scream made very little, and then it played for like 5 months.
But I feel like that only happens with new movies. Like, this is a sequel. Like, if it didn't make
this movie's probably not making any new ground, but I feel like it was done well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, it was a sequel. For a sequel that doesn't follow any characters, because it couldn't, it did what a sequel's need to do, stepping up the action, stepping up the...
One thing I really thought it did really well is it used songs.
Oh, yeah, a lot of 80s songs.
Yeah, which I always love that, because I'm a victim of the 80s.
Yeah, it's like, and me, since I wasn't even born until the 90s, I mean, it...
He wasn't.
I mean, of course, I didn't even know the songs.
No.
Because, like, the only songs I know are, like, Backstreet Boys, and wait, that's 90, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Just kidding. What?
Listen to your voice. Drunk man's voice.
Hey, Tim, hey. But we also went and saw you had mentioned Valentine earlier.
Oh,
went and saw it wasn't a 20th anniversary, it was just a Valentine's Day screening of Valentine and the original My Buddy Valentine, which I thought sucked,
right.
A big one.
And we also saw A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Oh, that was different. We watched Valentine. Okay, I'm getting confused. Okay.
We actually stayed for both. Our friends could only sit through one.
My Bloody Valentine, the original, sucked. I'm sorry. It just did.
Oh, really? A lot of people, like people I know really like that movie. I think it's the two lead men, I will say, dress so gay.
Oh, I don't even remember. Maybe I'm thinking, no, I just remember.
You're talking about My Bloody Valentine?
Yeah.
Coal Mine?
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Why did I not like it? I can't even remember. I guess I just didn't like it.
No,
I don't know.
I might like it just 100% for nostalgia purposes.
It's so funny that I can't even remember why not, but that says something right there. If I can't even remember much of it, it like didn't make much of an impact. Like movies that I like or that make an impact on me, I remember, obviously. It just seemed like I remember all of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and even though I don't think that's the greatest movie, I still remember it, but My Bloody Valentine, the poor woman who died at the beginning got shoved in the washer.
That opening, I feel like it was a tag on opening. I don't think it was written.
No, not at all.
Like, you know,
but
you
do see boobs in it.
Boobs?
And they remember they're like, she's like hooking up with the miner, and then he kills her right after she shows her his tits.
I don't remember her boobs
in the very beginning. Like, that's the only part thing that's in that opening scene.
I am definitely a homosexual. On that note,
and from your lips to God's ears,
right? He's like, Tim, you're still gay.
From your lips to Mike Pence's ears.
You know what?
Let's talk about Mike Pence. We'd like to invite you to be a guest on this podcast.
I don't want to talk to Mike Pence. I'm just like the Olympic skater. I don't want to talk to him.
Look. So, Mike, what did you think of The Strangers?
Let me ask my mom. My wife.
My mom? Wait, what if his mom is his
wife?
Does
he call his wife mother?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. That's like the big thing. Everyone makes fun of him.
That is gross. Oh, I thought people made fun of him for signing off on gay conversion therapy. Supporting gay conversion therapy.
I remember
therapy.
When I was in gay conversion
signing therapy. Off on a Religious Freedom Act. Let's make this political.
Right.
Let's go right from horror movies to politics. Easy transition.
Pop politics.
there are some good horror movies that will be coming out soon, so maybe we can see them soon.
Oh,
including
yes, and one of my friends wrote a book. It's called After Living. I know there's more to the title and everything, but I'm actually going to read a book.
Wait, what's it about?
Vampires,
living after
vampires. What? Vampires.
Is it? It's fiction then. No. Duh, no.
Wait, it's based on a true
story. Okay,
loosely
let me rephrase
based.
That. It's. That was the dumbest question I think I've ever asked in my life. It's fiction. No, Matt, it's nonfiction. No, what I meant was, is it based off of anything, like any movie or any like?
No, it's all from his imagination.
Oh, so he just created a story about vampires.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to read a book, and I think I'm going to have him on as a guest. And if you want to read a book too.
But how about me?
Oh, busy.
But well, there's movies like A Quiet Place is coming over. That's
It's coming over. Yeah.
I'm having Emily really, Blunt's
coming over.
Really tough times.
It's okay. You had a tough English weekend. Today. You had a tough weekend.
I know. I went away to, if anybody has ever heard of Idlewild, which is like in the middle of nowhere, 6,000 feet up in the mountains, and I felt like it was very Stranger's-esque, except for the trailer park part. But it was in the middle of nowhere, and I was like, wow, there could be a killer out here, and that's it.
Oh.
But what I was going to say is A Quiet Place comes out, and that's with Emily Blunt and...
John Krasinski.
Yeah. That looks good. That's coming out. Slender Man looks okay.
I have no interest.
No interest?
I'm kidding. I'll see it.
That comes out in like 2 months or something.
Busy.
And, is there anything else coming out?
No,
I thought there was other...
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Only movies coming out in the entire next 2 months?
I just hope there's a movie coming out with Goldie Hawn's daughter soon.
Kate Hudson?
Mm-hmm.
I love how Goldie Hawn's daughter, because nobody's ever heard of her. I mean, they only know her from Goldie Hawn.
You know, another movie I like, real quick, and then we're going to shut this shit down.
It's 44 minutes, Tim.
Something Borrowed. Who Everyone would... watch it.
He loves that movie. It's always like, hey, you want to watch Something Borrowed? Hey, Tim, no.
Fine. On that note,
Deadly Friend.
Oh, we did watch Deadly Friend. It was
Deadly
wonderful.
Friend.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to Happy Horror Time. Whoever you are. Oh, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Murdoch. I don't know Matt's Twitter.
I don't really do Twitter. I'm just so cool. I just don't.
Oh, wow.
Nobody wants to follow me. This is your show, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Again. My pleasure. Thank you. No one else would talk to me.
I know. He's not kidding. That's the thing. People are like, nah.
They're like, I'm so busy, Tim.
So busy. You're like, but you're unemployed and you don't do anything. Busy.
Holy shit.
No, I'm talking like in general.
I know.
All of LA is unemployed and not wanting to come on your podcast.
That's
just kidding.
True. They're like, oh, I'm
people
not doing
are
anything.
Lined up for this podcast. Right. You don't even know the guest list line that Tim has for
They're
this.
Like, I'm not doing anything, but I want to continue not doing anything.
They're like, it's like, Tim's like, hey, you want to do the podcast? You have some free time? Oh, I'm just really not busy.
That's hilarious. All right. On that note, thank you so much. Happy Horror Time.
Bye.